Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place, the point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Reach or Miss, Episode 10. And I'm very happy to introduce my guest today, Nevo Alva. Hi, Nevo.
Hi, Hayut. Pleasure to be here.
It's so great to have you here. And thank you so much. Nevo is the CEO and co-founder of VisualLead, pioneer of embedded visual QR code technology that seamlessly converts part of any image into a QR code, enhancing consumer engagement. Alva drew on his considerable entrepreneurship experience and education to successfully develop and launch VisualLead in less than 1 year. VisualLead has a very strong awareness and presence in Asia, and particularly in China. The company has a strategic partnership with its main investor, Alibaba Group, the owner of China's largest e-commerce business. I just shared with our listeners what you have done until now. I would like you to share with us, what are you doing and most passionate about today, and where are you heading?
Okay, so VisualLead is about the connection between offline and online. We started the company 6 years ago. And, you know, I'm most passionate about looking at the future of offline to online, which is, as I see it, definitely the fields of augmented reality and everything related to content of augmented reality and this kind of fields. Today, we work mainly in China. I don't know if you've mentioned it, but we have our strategic partner and investor, which is Alibaba in China. And in the last 3-4 years, we work in China. So most of our business, most of our customers are in China and around China. So in the near future, we are going to see ourselves approaching, you know, other territories such as Taiwan, which we already work in, and Thailand, and India, and Japan. But we are, as you can understand, we are an Asia-focused company. One of the most unique and important things about us is that we keep innovate all the time, and we keep ourselves on the front line of technology, and this has always been our competitive advantage, you know, when talking about what we do and why we do.
That's great. Can you describe in a few words how your company started? What was the story of the company?
Sure. We were a group of passionate, young, very young entrepreneurs that recognized gap in the market of connecting offline and online. It was obvious for us back in 2010, 2011 that mobile is on the rise and the physical world is here to stay. And we said, let's use our technical talent and abilities in order to bridge this gap. So we started by saying, very arrogant young kids, we said, let's let the user scan the world and let's let the business tag the real world. And we started from actually scanning images. But the first slap that we got was the understanding that we cannot just invent a new app that can scan images and expect everybody to know it and everybody to actually download it. And this was maybe the first lesson that we have learned. As a small company, we have to have a very good go-to-market. We have to have a very good understanding of our customer. And at this point, we decided, in order to overcome the challenges that I've just mentioned, we decided to take existing standard of QR code and implement it inside marketing materials. And by that, we overcame the adoption of the market because about 1 billion people already had an app that can scan QR codes. So we kept our visual, we called it visual QR code, compatible with the regular QR code. And by that, no one needs to actually download our application. On the other hand, when you look on our codes, you understand you can scan it. When you look at an image, you don't understand. So we also kind of made quick and fast education to the market. And I think this is how we started. This was the story. Once we came with this story to our investors, then everything made sense and we got the seed investment.
Can you please tell us who your customers are today and the story about how you figured out who are your most potential customers or consumers? And what made you understand that you should go to China?
Okay, so it's a few questions. So first of all, we had a choice at the beginning to go to the small business and make every small business use us, or to build a premium product for the big brand. And I think because of our experience and because of the DNA of the company, we have chosen the small business way. We believe that we can reach very large amount of small businesses and give them good product. And also, after working and doing some marketing strategy and understand the value that we can bring to the table, we chose the small businesses. And what we did was a do-it-yourself online platform. So the game was online game that any small business can create his offline to online campaign. And this is how we started, not related in any way to China. After 1 year, we managed to have a very impressive platform with nice revenue. Very quickly, we managed to gain some monthly recurring revenue. And then we said, okay, how can we grow? How can we grow from 100,000 small businesses to 1 million? We did another research of the market and we saw that when you talk about QR codes and offline to online and consumer behavior of actually, using your phone to many other use cases other than just use it as a phone, we saw that Asia has a very good potential and specifically China. And this is how we, first looked at China. This is 2013. And actually, there I have a nice story there because we didn't have a lot of money. We had about $500,000, and we could not afford to go to a big conference and have a big booth and stuff. So what we did was to sign up for a startup competition. We got accepted to this competition, and actually this was my first visit to China. We went to the competition, we got three booths and won the competition. And winning this competition was like, big wow. Suddenly I got approaches from big enterprise, big companies in China that want to do partnerships and use our technology. And this really opened my eyes to this market. And I understood that, when saying, where is the market? In one day, I knew, okay, I found my market. Now I need to understand how I can go to this market. To make long story short, I moved to China with my family after 6 months, and we built a whole strategy of how to go to China, what should be done.
A whole strategy of the company?
Yes, it was a new strategy for the company. I mean, we had to decide how we conquer China. China was a whole different story from the West, and I had no idea about China. I came to China without even knowing the language, not to mention the culture. So we started everything from scratch in China. And again, long story short, we managed to create very good awareness in China, which was the first 6 months in China, zero revenue, only awareness. Many conferences and a lot of buzz around us and campaigns with very big brands like Coca-Cola, Yves Saint Laurent, Crocs, and several local brands. We've made also partnerships with the social networks in China, wanted to use our technology and products in a whole bizarre and different ways than I ever imagined.
What kind of different ways? Can you give us an example?
Sure. So, for example, Renren, one of the biggest social networks back then, they had a feature in their mobile app, which is scan to connect. Every user has its own QR code. And then if you meet someone, it doesn't matter if you meet him in a pub or in a business meeting or just in school, you show your code, the other guy scan your code, and then you are connected. So it's like your personal digital ID. And what they did is they took our technology, which by then we were able to implement codes inside videos and animations and stuff. So they created a set of 100 animations, and they let the users personalize the personal QR code or visual animation code. In 1 month, 100 million consumers saw my logo, which was at the bottom of this page. And this was my goal. I mean, I didn't see $1 of this partnership because I knew that they don't want to pay. This is something, you know, I learned very quickly about China. They want to test for free and keep this test as long as possible. So I kind of used it and told them, no problem, take it for free, but put my logo at the bottom and link to my website. And this kind of thing created a lot of awareness, a lot of buzz around our brand in China, which really helped us to get investment eventually from Alibaba by the end of this year. This is, you know, our story in China very briefly. Today, you can assume that after joining forces with Alibaba, most of our products got the face of e-commerce, a lot of things related to e-commerce. And Alibaba very quickly became our biggest customer. And then we started to really learn some real pains of our customers. Alibaba is not like a direct customer. It's more like a channel to our real customers, which are the big merchants, which are the same business, right? If I had my platform outside of China and I approached the small businesses, so I used Alibaba in order to reach millions of the same businesses in China.
The small businesses. And they were your main audience, actually.
Yeah.
In China as well.
Yeah, but since then, in the last year and a half, I also found out that in the field of what we did mainly in Alibaba was eventually the end result is to put a code on your package when you deliver it to your client. And this code is all kind of engagement, coupon, upsell, warranty, all kind of engagement that you can have with your customers through your product package. And then, you know, we also worked in China, regardless of Alibaba. We found that our main customer, we should change it from the small business to the enterprise big brand. Eventually today we work with the big brands and we do campaigns mainly for smart packaging. This is where we found that we can bring the highest value. This is where we found that we can reach the mass consumer. With one brand, I can reach 300 million consumers. So it's much more than with the small business. So this is, you know, where we are today.
Sounds great. And from this point of view, and your experience is unique in that way, approaching China and succeeding in China, I want to ask you for your best advice about approaching the customers. Actually, if you can, I would like you to tell us about your concept of beliefs on the way a startup or entrepreneurial business should approach its customers and give our listeners your best advice for their customers' approach and focus.
Okay, so again, I divide my answer to two short answers. The first part is at the early stage. I think the biggest mistake that I see from young entrepreneurs is that they assume a lot of things. They don't really approach their customer, or they know two customers and they say, okay, it's enough. Now I know my customer. And the biggest tip I can give is don't assume anything. Unless you come from this field and you have experience, if you create 3D printers, if you worked 20 years in 3D printing and you talk to 1,000 customers, then okay, you probably know the pains of this market. But if you don't, and usually you don't, then you have to talk to the customers and understand if what you have is a real value or what you have is, you know, nice to have, something that you think is a real value, but it's not really a real value. This is the first part. In a more mature stage, I would say if you manage to make your customers come to you, then you are in a good position. How to make your customers come to you? 1 month ago, we had a lecture in the Israel Machine Vision Conference. We were on stage as speakers next to Microsoft, NVIDIA, Intel, and the Hebrew University. This is maybe the best approach I could have done to customer, because after this conference, I have my first impression. I don't need to explain anything. The customer come to me and ask if I can help, if I have time for him as well. And I think this is the best positioning entrepreneur should be. It's hard, but this is the best.
Sure. Talking about creating the demand, actually. And this is the most important thing. And what I also want to add is during almost all last interviews, people really talked about the need to talk to your customers or actually do things that don't scale in the first stages in order to really understand who your customers are. And you say the same, actually. Now, share with us, what is your biggest, most critical failure with customers? The one that affected your entrepreneurial journey the most?
I have many mistakes.
I can assure you this is something that we hear a lot here, and this actually, I guess, means that you are a good entrepreneur.
So I'll try to keep my failure focused on, you know, the subject of this call, which is, you know, the customers and...
Yeah, we're talking about the failure with the customer.
Yeah. So I think the biggest failure that I had is when I insisted about my value and didn't really listen to my customers. At some initial stage, my customers were the marketing agencies, specifically in China, but it doesn't matter around the world. And I tried to bring the marketing agency the same value that I bring to the small business. And I got a very good 2, 3, 4 meetings, and almost with all of them, I got to get to a pilot and get, you know, first campaign and stuff like this. But then I was, I don't know if it's in love with my product. I don't know if it's part of the, you know, you are in there and you don't want to stop and you don't want to listen. You don't want to look to the truth in the eyes. But today, looking back, I can say all the signs were there, and the marketing agencies, they actually told me, listen, you don't have enough value as a product that can sustain, as a product that can create value throughout, you know, more than one campaign. And, you know, I wasted almost a year, and I changed my sales team just, you know, because I thought it's their fault. But it was my fault, because I insisted this product has a certain value, which was not, I wouldn't say didn't exist, but definitely didn't exist as I saw it. It costs time, right? This is the price that I paid.
Did you keep also sell to the agencies, but with another value, or you totally changed the customers you are approaching?
Eventually, definitely. The marketing agency is part of my value chain, but I have to understand that they are part of the value chain. I have to understand that today I'm not selling to the marketing agency. Today I'm selling to the brand. It doesn't matter directly or through a reseller, but I'm selling to the brand. One of the tools that I bring in order to bring my solution to the brand is a tool that the marketing agency should use. But the value is the value for the brand, and it's an end-to-end solution. So I recognize, right, that the marketing agency is part of the game, but they are not my customer. The value is not there. So in a way, the product is not the same product. The product changed its face, and the marketing agency is still a player in this game, but not the target audience.
Now, what was your biggest, most significant success? The story, I want you to tell us the story of your greatest success as a result of the right customer focus, or something that you did right about approaching your customer.
So I want to put Alibaba aside, because the story of Alibaba is not only about things I did right or wrong. It's also about things I did. Maybe I can tell you about it later, but, you know, the timing and things I did regardless, and some luck and et cetera. But the biggest success was when I, you know, put the marketing agency aside and understood that I should change my solution, change my product. And this was the point that I entered the smart packaging vertical. And this was the point where I went to my customers, my big brands, and I actually listened to them. It was in Chinese, so I couldn't actually listen to them. But I had my people to listen. And I had this period where I, you know, go to the brands, listen to their needs, understand the pains, understand what value can I bring, which is, you know, 0 to 1 and not nice to have. And I think the result speaks for themselves, because I'll give you an example of one of the brands that we work with today is UniPresident, is the biggest food manufacturer in Taiwan, one of the biggest in Asia. And they have done a campaign with us putting unique codes on drinking bottles. The amount is huge. It's like 1 billion bottles. But the jump that we helped them do there is crazy, because until that day, people, you know, drank their beverage and throw it away to the garbage. Like you drink Coca-Cola today and you throw it away to the garbage. But from the minute they started to use our technology, people can actually scan the bottle, the cap, under the cap, code before they throw away the can. The brand can actually engage and have an interactive game with its customer. And eventually this customer becomes a loyal customer, which, you know, follow and sign up to his social channel. In just one campaign, this example campaign that I've mentioned, they had 11 million new followers in the WeChat account. The WeChat account is like, you know, Facebook or Twitter account. And this is truly 0 to 1, as I see it. Because before that, this kind of brand didn't have maybe 10,000 followers in their channels. And then you change it from 0 to 10 million, 11 million followers. And this is real value. I think this is the biggest success.
Wow, sounds great. And can you recommend the best, most effective technological or digital tool that related to customer focus, marketing, or sales? It can be either a personal tool, or some said Facebook or email. Is there any tool regarding to China that really helped you succeed there?
Yeah, so I worked in Europe and Japan and China. And one thing I can definitely say is that you have to understand the business culture as soon as possible. And one of the most important thing is to understand the channel that you should talk to with people. If you try to go to China and talk to people through email, you would probably fail, because you think someone is just, you know, is not interested because he doesn't answer. But if you learn a bit about China, then you learn that you have to download WeChat, which is the messaging app there. And this is the way they do business. If you are not on WeChat and you cannot communicate quickly, then you cannot do business in China, okay? And it gets even lower than this. I'll give you one example. I've made an introduction for an Israeli company with Alibaba. And the first thing Alibaba asked in the mail is, please download our messaging app, which is DingTalk, and talk to us there. And the guys from Israel said, no, I don't know this app. It's probably a Trojan horse, and I don't know how to use it. I don't want to use it. And I had to call them and tell them, listen, if you don't do it, then no business with Alibaba. Forget about it. So in China, it's WeChat. With Alibaba, it's DingTalk specifically. In Japan, it's Line, if you know. And in Europe, it's still email and some SMSs or stuff like this. I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, you did. You answered beautifully, because we really didn't have in the show yet anyone that actually have most of his customers and consumers in China. So I guess that most of us don't really use WeChat. Is there any service provider like mentor, consultant, advertiser, a multinational one that has a major impact of your customer success in China that can help other entrepreneurs get there as well?
You mean like a service provider or?
Yeah, anything. It can be a book as well. Any one or company?
So, yes, in China there are several communities for foreigners, which definitely can help do the initial first step. Personally, I already help, I think, dozens of startups that wanted to go to China, and I help them with connections to the several service providers, you know, to deal with HR and finance and all this. But there is China Accelerator, which is a very good accelerator. I'm using as a mentor over there. This is one organization in Shanghai, which has also offices in Singapore now and other locations, Hong Kong. And they really help to, you know, do the first initial steps in China. And also a good book that I recommend to read is When East Eats West by Sam Goodman, which is a dear friend. I read his book before I met him in Beijing, but this is a very light, easy book to read. You can read it on one flight of 3 to 4 hours. So
one flight to China.
Yeah, but it really gives you the idea of what to expect in a way.
Just for our listeners, we will put a few of the service providers or the accelerator that Nevo talked about, we'll put them as a link in the show notes of our interview with Nevo Alva. Just look for it in our website, richormiss.com, and it will be there. So you can look for it there. And Nevo, actually, I want to ask you, what is the one thing you are most fired up about today? Is there some new product that you are launching? Is there some app or something that you are really fired up today?
Sure, always. There's the new technology that we work in. I mentioned at the beginning that I'm passionate about the connection between offline to online, and when I look in the future, 6 months, 1 year from now, the trend that we see in the market is going towards augmented reality and virtual reality. Again, when speaking about offline to online and the connection between these worlds. And what we have done is actually a new product that we have started together with Alibaba. They are already using the first version of it. And the product is a scanner using your smartphone. Anyone can use any smartphone, Android, iPhone, whatever. The product name is Jigo. I spell it G-Y-G-O, like gyro, only Jigo. And the idea is that you use your smartphone to scan objects in the real world. And automatically we extract this object from the real world and bring them into a virtual environment. So in a way, you can scan whatever you want in the real world, and I would do the work to make them 3D-like and put them in a virtual environment. This is good for e-commerce, but this is also good for many other verticals as well. If you want to see more about it, you can visit our domain, jigo.it, jigo.it.
Jigo.it. Yeah, we will put the link at our show notes, and we will for sure visit there. The last question is, if you have to mention one factor that really affected most on your success, you know, there are a lot of things that affect success. What is the most important factor that affected your success until now?
Be out there. Walk with your feet. Don't stay at home. Go out, meet as many people as possible. You don't know what can happen from any meeting. I met many people from Alibaba and got a lot of no before I managed to reach the right person. And I reached the right person from a meeting which was not relevant to me. Okay, I went to meet some other company, and this guy that I met had a friend in Alibaba which worked on exactly the same thing, and he told me, you have to meet. And this is how I got to the right person in Alibaba. From a meeting I almost canceled in the last moment. So go out there, meet as many people as possible. And, you know, I think this is the most important factor that affected my journey.
Wow, great advice. I would like to thank you so much, Nevo, for being with us today. And it has really been a great pleasure.
Sure, it was my pleasure as well. So good luck. Good luck to everybody that listened to this podcast.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
For you, our listeners, until next time, it all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and visions. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.